Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. There we go. So this service is titled A House to Dwell In. I often ask myself a question on a regular basis. Who am I? Why do I exist? What defines me? Am I defined by the Spirit or am I defined by the flesh? Am I defined by Christ alone or by those who surround me? What motivates me? Why am I alive? Why am I here? Some of these questions seem like the questions of life, right? To someone who has been a believer for a long time, like myself, I think it would be easier to answer these, but not really, because it could just be a result of what I've been told my entire life by people I've been in the church with. I know, you know, that people are not perfect. If you look at the history of our church, you can pretty much figure that out pretty quick. There could have been a lot of messed up people. Not to say that was all messed up, but there was definitely some messed up things. It could be faulty parenting. right? It could be bad influences in your family. Bad influences from your state and your country and the world, and also bad influences just from yourself, with no one else really having anything to do with that. How much of what I've been told to be is actually based on being Christ-like in the church? How much of it is actually based on what the Lord has told me through Scripture and through the teachings? What kind of aspects, manipulations of religion and Christianity have been told to you is the law and actually isn't the law? So I ask myself these questions all the time. It's really annoying. I can't stop my brain from just continually pushing these barriers back, but it's really, really good in this world today, because there's a lot of people that ask themselves why they should believe in a fairy tale and use that for the basis of their foundations to be alive. And especially since there seems to be so many contradictions in the Scriptures. For instance, God made us. He created us. He created us to be lovely to Him. Amen. Our bodies. He created our bodies in our hands and our arms and brains. And yet there's dozens, hundreds of scriptures talking about how the flesh is vile and how we shouldn't, we should resist the flesh and we should only be in the Spirit. But didn't God create? Well, God created us, right? So why is he all going back in Scripture and being like, you know, like in like Galatians 1:27, right? Is that the one? That's the first one. That's not the one. No. Yes. No. Galatians 5:19-21. Okay. Says, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Ooh, Harry Potter. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage. I am guilty of those. Where's my sister? She's not here. We're both guilty of those. I'm calling her out. Rivalries, and things of such. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, thank you, God, for making me that way. I mean, seriously. But at the same time, you know, sin, right? But in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So we're created in God's image. And yet he says, you know, you're designed to do all, basically, you're going to want to do all these things. And I made you this way. And you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you obey that. And so that's confusing to me because, okay, yes, the sin, the corruption of sin. Well, he also planned all that stuff, too. He planned for all that stuff to happen, right? I mean, I'm looking over here. I don't know. I mean, he knew it was going to happen. So all of this stuff is part of our DNA. It's part, literally, part of our DNA, who we are. in our physical nature. I refer to this being for the enjoyment of this morning. I call him Flesh Man. Flesh Man. Flesh Man. He is Flesh Man. We are. I am Flesh Man. You are Flesh Man or woman. Let's be, you know. All right. Flesh Man was created by God. Okay? It helps to know that what we are without Christ, but even more than what than without Christ, is what we are when we don't feel like being Christ-like. So, pretty interesting. So, Flesh Man was born without Christ, but he was created by God. Okay? So, corruption of sin, fall of Satan, first sin, chomping of the apple. That's the axis of evil right there, eating apples. Flesh is born without Christ. We are born as Flesh Man. We are born in a world of sin. By default, we are like a dog or a gorilla or an insect. We have primal urges. We have instincts. We are born to do what the flesh has been created to do, which is, by the way, not created by the devil. So he didn't give us the desire to have sex or to eat. He didn't give us the desire to sleep. Okay? Eat, drink, sleep, be selfish, and reproduce. Okay? And all the things that motivate ourselves to do that for ourselves as selfishly as possible. Or like protecting our family, our tribe, self-preservation of ourself and our legacy. Okay? So we love each other because we love to preserve them. And love is, of course, separate to love is a Christ thing. It's a religious, it's a spirit thing, but it's also an emotion. It's also an emotional thing. So Flesh Man is weak to himself. And that, I believe, is where the devil comes in and tempts you. And then he's just taking that weak flesh and corrupting it. I've noticed in my weakness, it is really easy to stumble into sin. It's really, really easy to do that. Anyone here ever tried a diet before? Right? Has count how many successful diets you've had. You can probably count a few. And then you have you lost count of how many unsuccessful diets you've had? I can't even remember. Probably hundreds. Not really. I haven't tried that hard. But some people have tried harder. And why? Because it's really hard to fight this piece of meat that you are out of what it wants to do for itself. You know, your body likes fat. It doesn't want to have muscle. You know, it doesn't want to have muscle. It wants to have fat because it can store it and save it for a rainy day. You know, it doesn't want to stand. It doesn't want to move around, you know. So these are things that we're fighting. We're created this way, fighting this all the time. And like when we're tired, it's easy to stumble. When you're hungry, it's easy to stumble. Or thirsty. These are just things that are built into us physically. This is not even to do with like the great warfare between angels and demons up there battling over our choices. This is just like, I only got 5 hours of sleep last night because the baby was crying. And I don't want to go to work today. You know, something like that. It's just, this is just normal day-to-day stuff. Maybe I'm tired or I had a fight with a friend or something in my day or a life event occurs that falls way outside of my ability to control. Okay. I work too much. I've worked too much. Happens. I see certain people way too much. My flesh is weak to itself. My body and brain wants to do what it wants to do the most. When I am in the flesh, I am weak to my own flesh's will. I am Flesh Man. I never transcend flesh man. I accept that I am flesh. Okay? I accept that I am who I am, born this way, physically, and all the stuff that comes with being who I am. I think that's helpful. I feel like it helps to be honest with yourself, you know? How many people lie to themselves every single day? Every single day. Sometimes the very first thing you do, the moment you step your feet on the floor and you tell yourself something, you're lying to yourself. That's the very first thing you do. Okay? How many people lie to themselves when they're sitting in the sanctuary? They're listening to that word that's being shared and like, oh, that's so nice. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do all that stuff. Yes, I'll make a radical change in my life to serve him. And then they just go out and do the exact opposite of what they just said they were going to do. You guys are vile people. You have so little honesty. How much of your honesty that you tell to people, or that I tell to people, is actually just a facade to cover up all of the stuff that you're insecure about? I mean, that's, you know. Sorry. But you guys are vile people. I've noticed in my weakness, it is really easy to stumble in my flesh, right? I am flesh man. I never transcend from flesh man. The only time you transcend from flesh man, by the way, is when you die. You're physically dead. Then you are nothing but spirit. There's nothing else. But your spirit is pretty much always inside your body. Unless, I don't know, there are sometimes transcendent, you know, outer body experiences. Whether you believe that actually happens or not. There's really no factual evidence to prove it. But for the most part, we are constrained to our bodies. The only time I'm not flesh man is when I have passed from the body and into the spirit realm. When I die, when my body dies, I am no longer flesh man. I am spirit man. Now, what kind of, you know, what kind of life have I led will determine where that spirit man goes. But spirit and flesh. So, I mean, you could compare some of this, what I'm talking about, from Freudian psychology, if you want to, if you have some of that. Or is it Freudian? No. Perhaps. I don't know anything about psychology. I'm going to go ahead and start off by saying this. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I know any better. I know nothing about psychology. But I know that there's the id, ego, and superego, right? So those things can, you can kind of sort of compare those things a little bit to what you're hearing, if you want to reflect later, which you may want to reflect later. But I am flesh, flesh man isn't all bad, you know? I want to say flesh man is not just sin incarnate, okay? You and your body in the flesh is not always in sin. You're not just like, oh gosh, I wish I could just be a spirit all the time and my flesh could die because that's what I think the scripture tells me. No, that's not what the scripture tells you. Because the scripture tells you in multiple instances to like enjoy the fountains of your wife, or, you know, like eat delicious food and milk and honey, and we go to these places and have fellowship with one another. Those are all like pretty much fleshly pleasures. You're sitting with people, you're eating food. That's good. You know, when we are hungry or thirsty, we should eat and drink. We are stronger. We are satisfied and happier when our bellies are full and our thirst is satiated. When we are tired, we should sleep. We feel good, refreshed, and sharp when we are rested. Those are two purely in the flesh activities. Now, of course, you know, when you're asleep, you could have like night visions, you know, dreams, right? Okay. You could have those. Those are real, by the way, right? God speaks through dreams. But, I mean, we're doing that because we're tired. I'm not saying anything against fasting, Okay? That's different. I mean, that kind of all leads up to that part. But for the most part, we sleep when we're tired. We eat when we're hungry, and we drink water or milk or something else when we're thirsty. So why did God make us this way? Because we've got this piece, this picture. Why are there so many instances where the scriptures seem to contradict itself? God made us in his image, yet those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Right? Wow. Thanks, God. That was really clear. Thank you for being so clear about that. Colossians 1:16. All things were created through him and for him. Oh, that is a good verse. Specifically, for him is where we're going with this. Okay. So it all comes down to this, Romans 8:5. Thank you, Jan. What have we got? Yes, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. That's good. So when I read this verse, what I heard in my soul, who do you worship? Do you worship God, or do you pretty much worship yourself? You know, so if you're in the flesh and you're just thinking about all of the things that you need to get through your day, you got to get up, got to get some groceries, or you got to go to McDonald's and get a biscuit, and you're in traffic and you're mad because no one is driving at the pace that you want them to drive so that you can get to your job for yourself, so you can get there on time, and then your boss is making you angry because you were a little bit late, but because you're perfect and your schedule is the only one that matters, you get there and you're trying to explain to them, but I had to do this, and your boss is like, you're actually late and I'm going to, you know, write you up, and they just don't understand you. And your needs, and you're actually worth your work, and then you work through your job and you get through that, but they never pay you enough because you're worth so much more than that. You're just worth way, way more because your parents told you, you can do anything. You can do anything in life. And America has told you, just try hard enough and you can do and be anything you want. And there's really no standard above that. That we create our own standards. We can overcome all things through just ourselves and the power of humanity and the power of people. There is nothing that can stop this evolution train of pain. We are our own gods, is what I hear and see in everywhere, not just in the world, but also in the church. So we don't receive from God. We command him to give us things. And he gives it to us because we're entitled to them because he created us. So, God, I deserve to be healed of this eye that I've had injured for my entire life. Because it says so in the scripture, and I deserve it, and you're going to heal me. And I believe that. I do. I believe that. But he hasn't, right? So that's another contradiction. It says you receive your healing, you receive your healing, you receive your healing. You'll be healed. Ask for it. You'll get it. I haven't gotten it yet. What is up with that? Oh, that's probably it, Conrad. I wasn't believing hard enough. That's a whole different topic. But we'll go down the rabbit trail. But, you know, so who do you worship? Do you worship yourself or do you worship God? But also, what do you really know about yourself? What do you really know about your body? What do you really know about your purpose? Do you actually know why you're alive? Do you know where you came from, other than your parents, perhaps? Do you know any of that? So you don't know any of that. We don't know. I don't know any of that. We have theories. You know, but there's, what is it? There's four big bangs, right? Oh, wait, did you guys know that there's four big bangs? That's pretty cool. You look it up sometime. I can look it up now, actually. I'm not going to look it up now. But there's the initial Big Bang, the cosmic Big Bang. Then there's the life Big Bang. Because no science in all the world, in all of history, can figure out how life came into existence. Then there's the mankind Big Bang or something like that. Like, man has sort of gotten broken away from the flock of that. And then there's the psychological Big Bang of developing brains and so forth. So there's like all these things in science that just cannot be explained at all. You know? So why do those things happen? Why do all these things happen? So backtracking a little bit, as important as it is to recognize that God made us to fear when our life is in danger. Okay, God made us to fear. Fearing the wrong things is sin. But being afraid of being hit by a car is a good thing. Okay? All right. To feel protective over things that we need to keep. So this greed, right? Greed's bad. But, you know, what's something we should be protective of? Money that we make, our property. We want to protect those things. It's not someone comes up and is like, can I have this? Yes. Yes, take my car. No. Children? Well, those aren't things. Those are different. But yes, things, people. People are different, but yeah. Love of things that brings pleasure to us. That's not always a sin, believe it or not. Okay? Like, my dad got an easy chair years ago. He loved that thing. We loved it into the ground. It fell apart. Okay? God wasn't shaking his head at him the entire time he was sitting in that chair. That was a fleshly pleasure. Nothing else. My dad didn't say, I'm going to get this chair and I'm going to be spiritual in this chair. I'm just going to be so spiritual. No, he watched 24 on that thing, which we're not going to talk about that. Okay. So, lost my place. Let's see. Easy chair. That's not even in here. I just kind of improv that. So I just want to skip over too much. Oh yeah, here we go. It's essential to recognize that with those thoughts in mind, we have always been meant to do it with Jesus. But it's even more than that. It's even more than with him. Okay, he's not your buddy who's arm in arm with you. I mean, he is, but he's more than that. So if you remove Jesus from the equation, you worship yourself. You worship pleasure, fear. You pursue things like fake pleasures. You know, I've been to a lot of non-Christian shows. There's people doing drugs and they're dancing around with each other and waving their hands in the air and they smell terrible. And drinking a lot of alcohol. And these are fleeting pleasures, fleeting moments. It's not real pleasure. It's just like you're in the moment. When it's over, you're done. They take a drug. Hopefully they can make it last a little longer. They don't care if it messes them up because they just got to feel anything other than the loneliness and emptiness that creeps up at night when you're going to bed. Or, you know, any other time. Your life becomes a string of events that has no meaning. This is a life of misery. That's what it looks like. Okay? Flesh man has desires. Flesh man was made to be strong. And flesh man works really, really well while operating with spirit man. Okay? So no spirit. Flesh is just doing its thing for itself. With spirit, we'll get to that. So why did God make us that way? That's the ultimate question, I think. Why did God make me so vulnerable to sin? and so vulnerable to just serve myself and all of these things. So we are designed that way at the beginning of everything. When something hurts, our flesh tells us not to do it anymore. When we feel mortal fear, as I mentioned before, our body and brain warns us to alter our actions. Flesh man is everything that comes natural to us as people. And flesh man was created by God. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 10:13. Flesh man can't talk sometimes. All right. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide you a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Okay, so now we're learning that he made us, but he also gave us escape routes to get away from ourselves. So God made us that we could escape our flesh, that he, by the way, made, if it goes, gets a little too strong in our lives. So it's kind of like a trap door. Okay. You can just be like, I got to get away from myself for a little bit. So like, okay, so that's cool. But why did you do that? Why didn't you just make us to where this was never a problem? Why do you have to build in a trap door to your own system? It's kind of like programmers making a program. They create trap doors so they can get into it and get out of it if they have a problem and breaks down. So that's essentially your computer program. Okay. You can take that with you after today. You are a computer. So we are a temple, actually, is what we are. We're a temple. What is a temple? A temple is a home. It's a home for not people. It's a home for God. So we are a temple. You can make a point. I made a point there. We are a temple for God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So our bodies don't belong to us. That's pretty awesome. So why are you alive? It's really not up to you, is it? You know, it's not up to you. Being alive, living, being born, existing, it was never up to you to begin with, because you are not your own. We are a construct. We are a building. We are a temple. We are a home for God. Without God, we are vacant. Our lives are meaningless without its creator. Jesus is the intended resident for every person who has ever come into existence. Why were you made? So Jesus could live inside of you. Why are you weak? So Jesus can maintain you. We are created to be his home. So think of yourself not as a person that was created from clay and dust, but I mean, you were. But think of yourself not as a person who's walking behind Jesus, but think of yourself as a house that's been built by like a construction team. And the person who was seeing the house being built was Jesus. He was walking around and checking things and making sure it's good. It's like, I really like hot tubs, so he made sure there's a hot tub in you. And I really want to have a big kitchen because I like making my own food. So there's a nice big kitchen with nice counters and a nice oven. And I really want to have a giant bathroom because it takes time for me to get ready in the morning. Jesus says this. And so there's a nice big bathroom inside of you. And this is you. You're this home that he has created with the intention of him dwelling in you and living in you and enjoying the life of living in a home. Who here lives in a home and likes it? It's good, right? It's nice. You do what you want. You have your own intentions. That home, hopefully, is tailored to your specific requirements so that you can enjoy your life thoroughly. And you have a relationship with your home, right? You know, when it's getting run down, you, like a window breaks, you replace the window. Bathroom back, you know, toilet backs up, you get a plumber, you fix the plumbing. He is, you know, in there maintaining. So the master of the house Your body is a temple. God is the master for your body. So 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21. This is another example of your body being a habitable place. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. All right, so let's back up a little bit. Your house. And God's not living inside of you. But you're still empty inside. So rather than put God in there, you put something else in there. And that lives inside of a house and jumps around, bumps in the walls, knocks things over, breaks stuff, poops in the floor. Could be a raccoon, you know, or could be a dachshund. You know, house is getting messed up. So you're born without Jesus inside of you. You're born without him in your life. But you're created for him to live inside of you. But how long does that happen? How long do you go before you find him? I mean, yes, when he does get inside of you, he cleans all that stuff up. He fixes it all up real nice, gets it back to the way he wanted. It takes some work to get there, just depending on how messy it is inside of you. It could be like, oh, there's like a little dust, dusted out, clean, done. It could be like, I've pretty much got to tear this house down, start from scratch. And it's going to take a long time to get you there. So anybody who's been through something that really messes you up on the inside, drugs really mess you up on the inside, abuse, right? Abandonment, right? Lies, getting catfished. Yeah. Talking from my own experience. you know, I went through a 9-month relationship with a woman who lied about everything from the very first day. Everything was a fabrication. Everything was made up. And to us, we were a boyfriend and girlfriend. To some people, I was a stalker. To some people, I was a childhood friend. To some people, we didn't even know each other. And this was going on. This happened for 9 months. That tore me up. That was tough. Because I had thought I had a good relationship for 9 months, and it ended. I was sad that it ended. But then I found all this stuff afterwards, and it kind of destroyed me a little bit. Especially since I found out she went out throughout the community and slandered me throughout the community. Lies everywhere about me. People were turning their backs on me. I didn't know why. It's like, what's going on? Why won't you talk to me? Why are you looking at me? We are not defined by our imperfections. We are defined by our purpose, our reason to be alive, our creation. We are made with purpose. As we get scratched or dented and damaged, as long as it can still hold something, as long as somebody can still come in there, Jesus can still come in and live there, we still have our purpose. We are not defined by our mess ups, by our lies, by our hurts. I don't care if you've killed somebody. That is not something that defines you. As much as a community or a person or the law or the world, that is not what defines you. You're not defined by your mistakes. We are made. We are formed of clay and bricks. We are built from dirt and out of nothing. Have you ever felt meaningful? Or meaningless, I'm sorry. Have you ever felt meaningless, empty, and unfulfilled? Have you ever felt meaningful, Tim?
I know. It's
How could you possibly... No, I'm kidding. I'm not laughing, Tim. Then ask yourself this question. Where's the master of the house? Is he living inside of you? Or do you feel empty right now? Are you alone? Do you feel like you're at the end of your rope? Do you feel hurt? Are you a Christian and you feel that? Guess what? Jesus is not inside of you. The Holy Spirit is not inside of you. Right? It's not like we get saved and all of a sudden he's there forever. Right? We're saved. We're sanctified. But when we're feeling so horrible inside all the time, why? What? Are you pressing in? Are you pursuing him? What part of a relationship is you do one thing and you stop doing it forever? Jesus is not some magician who comes in and changes you and it's over and it's done. Yes, it is true. Yes, he does that. Sanctified, died on the cross, your sins are forgiven, but your life is in misery? Why is it in misery? What can we do to be closer to him, to have him want to live inside of us and stay there? We got to move some things out of us. We got to clean house. I'm talking about myself mostly here. I'm not trying to point the finger at you guys. Okay? How much longer are we going to continue lying to ourselves? That we're okay. We've been saved for 25 years or 15 years for me. 15 or 20 years or something. And everything's going great. And I don't have to worry about all the misery I have now, because when I die, I'll be in heaven. And I'll be dancing with Jesus and all my problems will be gone. So I just got to be miserable for another 50 years or so. And once I get my final reward, it'll be okay. You know, so.
Wow, that's
sorry. I think about this stuff all the time. It's misery. it's awful. So we are created with the intended purpose to contain Jesus, to have him habitating inside of us. Do you feel as if you have Jesus inside of you? Maybe he isn't happy with the state of his house. He really, really wants to be inside of you all the time, though. He wants to be inside of you all the time. You know, being filled with the Spirit. I'm sorry. Like when I see the, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Now, for me, I try to take what I experience in the real world and compare what it is in the spiritual world. I don't try to make up. If I read the Scripture and I see, like, okay, this is the way it's supposed to be, so let me try to make up a scenario for that to be true without me actually doing anything else, so that I can just accept this fabricated lie as a foundation of my living. So what I really liked about that dude up in Jersey talking about love, He opened my eyes in a lot of ways, because he talked about something that everybody seems to believe called, the love thing. What is, not agape. Unconditional love, which is a lie. He doesn't believe that, and I kind of like, it's not that, it's a different way of looking at it, but it's the concept of it. That was really, really cool. How long have I been lying to myself about that, you know? Not really understand. Anyway, I don't know, it's just interesting. So, but getting back on topic, what do we have to do to make ourselves habitable all the time? You know, like, really want to just feel satisfied. Does anyone want to join me in prayer? I don't have a prayer set up for this, but maybe just ask God right now to clean you out. You know, you have an idea? Yeah, come on up. And can you put Proverbs 24:3 back up? Be good. Because that's the whole basis of this. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established. And I think understanding your purpose, your house.
We got to do some work. It's not just God comes and changes everything. We got to do some work. We got to meet somewhere in the middle with him.
All you guys feel it. All you guys know it. You come in here and you put on your best face, and sometimes you don't. It's so much better just to be vulnerable with one another, you know? So let's stand and pray. And, you know?
Yeah, just start. Let's just pray.
Start praying. Okay. Lord, we just ask you to open up our understanding of ourselves. Open up our ability to accept who we are and praise you for it. We ask you, Lord, to help us help each other in revealing to one another what is really going on inside of our hearts. And just wipe out any pride that is holding back and covering our fear of confronting ourselves. Allow us to put ourselves with everyone and all of us understanding our value with you and by you, being made from nothing and being turned into a place where you would like to dwell.
Yes,
the value that we have, the value of our existence is because of what you created us for. And nothing else.
Amen.
Help us strip away any lies that are forced on us every day, that we tell ourselves every day, that puts us in the place of you.
Amen.
We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name.